And it's another episode of Black and a Half. Thank you so much. I'm Silas Lindenstein. Always here. This is episode 35, and I have another special guest, Jasmine Silvera.
Hi, Silas.
Hello, returning.
Hello. It's been a while.
Returning to the program. You were a guest before, but now you're here.
And now I'm in the serving wine seat. It's awesome.
Yeah. You had the qualifications for Black and a Half. So I'm a half, and so I needed a black.
I'm officially black.
Yeah.
That is what
they
say.
So that way I don't have to change the name.
That's what I've been told. As long as it fits in your format, I'm good. I'm just happy to be able to slot right in.
It's the important thing.
Just you can call me Manny if it makes you feel better.
When else do we get the qualifications of being black as necessary for the
We are
the
in
spot?
Seattle, so it's kind of few and far between. Good luck.
I'm really, yeah. I've got you and three people that are even possible to come in.
I have a couple of black friends if you need anybody. Yeah.
Well, you got to find out if they're someone cool. For you. How'd you meet them in Seattle?
Well, there's a secret handshake that we all do.
Am I not getting invited?
Sorry, because you're half. You don't count. There's a at the door to check your card.
Oh, well. Left out again.
Taken and torn up a long time ago.
Well, this was a fun episode. This is actually
Who's here, Silas?
I was about to say that in a smooth way.
I can't wait.
Okay.
I got to know.
And two guests today, which is not usual for the Black and Half podcast. Yeah. Jenny Bueller and Caroline Hastings. They're two members of a mostly a cappella group called the Bodacious Ladyhood.
Sweet.
Yeah, local, I wouldn't say band, a group.
Local group. It's a group.
Group, not a band. You need instruments, right?
Well, I don't know about that. You could be.
I don't know. I only think that because of the Eminem song, the D12 song. We're not a band, we're a group.
Yeah, I think group. I think you go group. Okay,
They're like rappers, but...
What else do these bodacious ladies do, Silas?
And they're also in a current production of Outdoor Trek, which is a Star Trek episode done in a park.
Say what?
Yeah, it's better... You know what? I've not gone to Shakespeare in the Park for a while because
Shakespeare in the Park is so 1997. Whatever.
Well, it's still going on. I've been in my share of them, and I've seen them, and I appreciate it, but I need a break from that. But this draw me back to Park Theater, and I was so happy. It was the fun. I went and saw it last weekend.
So Outdoor Trek, right?
Outdoor Trek. They're doing Day of the Dove.
What do they do?
They're doing Day of the Dove from the original Star Trek.
What?
Yeah. We talk about it on the episode.
Okay.
The folks here listening now can listen then. And
yeah, it's a great episode.
We talk about our kids.
Yeah.
Talk about
lots of kids. I know we had a full on family moment.
Yeah.
Family
everybody on here has kids. Moment. Usually Manny's the childless one for now.
See what we do when you're not here, Manny.
That's right, Manny.
We talk about our kids.
Get back here. That's coming out the next couple weekends, the 5th and 6th, as well as the 12th and 13th.
Check that out in
Seattle. Love the information on the page, link to their website. Jasmine, do you have a book coming out? Your book's out.
Book is doing well. Book two is coming. Dancer's Flame coming out in October. Yes. Let's just put it out there. Yes. Coming out in October.
It's called The Law of Attraction.
Yes.
You gotta visualize.
Speak positively.
I was listening to Connor McFly or whatever his name is, the UFC fighter.
I don't know about Law of Attraction, but I have an editor who's going to basically throw me in a deep, dark pit if I don't get her a book
Same thing.
Now.
You know, threats and
3 weeks ago.
Threats or visualizing.
Yeah.
Visualize or threaten.
Carrot worked for a while, but now we're on stick time. It's time for the stick.
Okay.
So anyway, book, yeah. It's all going well, though.
Awesome.
It's good. And I will be at Passport to Romance here at the Emerald City's Writing Convention in October. Emerald City Writers Conference. So, yeah.
Where is that?
That's over in Bellevue at the Westin, and it's a public event. So, you can come get your book signed, take a picture with a cover model from a romance novel.
Ooh!
So lots of good looking folks.
What is there a bunch of them?
Do they have
a booth there?
They get them out, and you can go get your picture taken.
How much does that cost? Do they charge for that?
Actually, I don't think they charge for that. The event.
I'm going shirtless.
You should just go
as many as I can.
Yeah, some fabulous fine folks will be there. Lots of authors, lots of books, lots of swag.
Is Fabio gonna be there?
I doubt it. Does Fabio is like, he's next level now. Like, he's only on doing you.
I don't know. Ever since he broke his nose, I don't know if he. I don't even know if he worked after that. After
yeah, I don't know. I think
the bird hit him in the face. And
new,
blood everywhere.
Young, fabulous, good.
There's
looking
a new
people.
Fabio. New, I gotta meet. Oh, fabulous. Fabio 2.0.
And you know they're getting them. Like more. They're like tatty, and they're getting like leaner looking, and less like
leaner than Fabio.
Well, yeah, but he's got that kind of like I'm a model thing. Like they have some of them look like really rough dudes, and there's some there's a lovely, fabulous chocolate skinned brother who's gonna be there. So, yeah, covering the black part.
Well, good. That's what I want. A picture of with me and a nice chocolate.
There you go.
Man.
So that'll be your black. You can be the half.
Hey,
there we go.
Can you do an interview?
Yeah, there you go.
Maybe we'll come to that. We might come to that and interview people live. We'll do a live interview show.
You should probably
do
that.
Did
you were
at
North West Con, yeah.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Yeah. I was there, but you guys did not talk to me.
A different day?
I saw you guys there, and you guys didn't say anything to me. I saw you. I waved. They were interviewing people. I was like, you were busy.
But we're in.
Oh, no. Y'all are too cool for me now. I got it. I get it.
I don't remember this.
I get it.
I have a child.
Anyway.
All right. This episode, thank our sponsors, Skyline Properties. If you're interested in residential buying or selling needs, go to silasgetsreal.com and take care of you there. And also, big thanks to the Parlor Live Comedy Club in Bellevue. Manny will be there most of August hosting or featuring.
Maybe.
One of the two. He's going to be there making jokes. So go there, support him, check that out. And yeah. And today's episode is brought to you by tears. tears being the black man's friend since 1623. Thank you so much for listening
to the Black. You could watch it if you want.
You know what?
If you want to sit in front of your computer and just watch the little ticker go
across, uploading.
You could watch it.
I'm going to start uploading at request of a fellow nerd. He said if you would put them on, he'd really like it if they were on YouTube. Because actually, he's more likely to be able to play it on YouTube than anywhere else. So I'm like, we're going to upload them on YouTube. It'll just be a still picture, so you can stare at that if you want the whole time.
Or you could do like a burning logs thing, like that Norwegian.
I wonder if the rosé has kicked in. The burning Darth Vader. I wonder if that it's copyrighted.
You could kind of like,
I'll make my own.
Or birds.
I'll make
my
own.
Flitting through a forest while you're talking or something. We're like stars.
Okay.
Anyway, too far.
All right. Thank you so much. Please like your page on Facebook and follow our medias. Another great episode. Episode 35.
Black and a half. I said it first.
Episode 35. Jenny Bueller and Carolyn Hastings.
Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by to receive our transmission.
Feel like I'm going against energy levels because you know you always like get the energy go now shut up everybody. Okay, be really quiet.
Maybe we should do the 15 seconds at the end instead.
You know what, I used to and then I forget.
Oh,
then I'll forget. And then it's like I break down the set. As soon as I break it down, it's all ruined.
Yeah,
forever.
Never the same.
But I should if I had a checklist. I should have a checklist at the end of this so I can plan things. So did you watch
I might have, maybe.
Did you see my video? Did you see my video?
Did I see your video?
Yesterday?
Did you make a video yesterday?
Yeah.
All I have been doing the last few weeks or days is packing boxes and putting all of the shit I own, can I say that word?
Yeah.
Into a box and taping it up to move 15 blocks away from one house to another house.
I can relate.
15 blocks?
Yeah, it sucks. I mean, you almost wish you were moving across the country.
Yes.
Because otherwise you'd feel like, okay, it's worthwhile that I wrap every dish I own in 18 billion layers of paper.
Yeah.
But when you, like, I'm just going to go 10 blocks. They're going to put it in a truck. They're going to drive the truck. They're going to park the truck. They're going to unload the box.
Yep.
Then yeah, I did about the same. It was about 2 miles away or something.
It's like, yeah. What is that? I feel like if I got all my friends together, all my Facebook friends, we can have an ant train and we'll just like hand the plates. You take the plate, you take the plate, yeah. And then hand it over. It'll be like a Coke commercial.
I did that in college. I did the college. I think it was something like it was 4 blocks.
And I think you can do that in college when your friends are all like, we don't have anything else to do.
But. No. I moved four blocks in college. Okay. And so it was the most half-assed move that we did because we rented a truck and just kind of put stuff in boxes.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it took way longer than a normal move would have been because we weren't boxing as efficiently.
Right.
Because we're like, well, it's right up there.
Oh, just and then, the box. Yeah,
I think we probably, yeah. I don't know.
But you get to a certain age and your friends have kids and bad backs and knees and they're like, a beer is not enough payment to move all your shit around. No. So good luck.
And now, like, you can't even, you know, they can't owe you from taking you to the airport because... No.
Because everybody
nobody,
Ubers.
Right. Nobody will take you to the airport anymore.
Yeah. They're like, you need a ride to the airport. Lyft. L-Y-F-T. Yeah. Or light rail. Right. Yeah. Which you can do now. Almost from here. Soon from here.
Like, it's an abandonment of favors, right? Nobody owes anybody anything anymore.
No. I mean, even, you know, I had friends had a baby. And so, the baby or somebody passed away or somebody gets sick and you would bring food to their house.
Right.
Well, now there's a... thing you can order across the country. Their little infant was in intensive care, so I paid this company like $20 and they delivered them a meal on a set day, so we all kind of
really?
Pooled in
oh,
so
cool.
that everybody bought a meal on a different day for them while they were all in an ICU.
No homemade
I mean, well, they're in Florida, so I could send them some chili, but man, I don't know what condition it's gonna be.
It might not
there.
Travel so
no
well.
I'll freeze it, and boy, UPS probably won't even ship that. I don't know.
I think they would ship it.
Well, they ship salmon from Alaska.
You have to put dehydrated ice. No.
Frozen ice.
Dry ice.
Unice ice.
Frozen ice. Frozen ice.
Dry ice.
Yeah. But you almost said frozen ice.
I almost said dehydrated ice.
It's kind of like dehydrated ice. I mean,
kind
it's.
Would that be water or gas?
It's gas. Frozen. It's nitrogen?
Yeah.
Look, now I'm almost 40 now. And,
oh.
43. I'm so now like, but I'm still amazed at what I get. What I get amazed at, like yesterday when I picked up propane, and I was just after I hooked it up, I was like, man, gas has weight. That's just amazing. Like, it was just amazing me, even though I'm like, yeah, no, I've known this for a long time, but sometimes things just hit me.
Oh,
and I'm like, I'm way too old to be.
What's the thing? Is it 2 pounds? What's heavier? 2 pounds of this or 2 pounds of that? And I'm thinking like, about it, I was like, wait, 2 pounds.
It's a trick question. Do. I'm a writer, not a scientist.
Math is hard.
Yeah.
That's like one of the riddles that my daughter will have. Yeah. She'll get those too. She'll like hear it and like, she's going to get me.
I got you, Dad. I'm going to stump
gonna
you.
Me, like,
I got one for you. Which is heavier, 2 pounds of feathers or 2 pounds of concrete? I'm like,
wait a minute, how about which has more volume?
Anyway.
That messes me up. Are you cheating?
I'm not cheating. I'm looking at my beautiful daughter. Well,
do you do that at work all day? To keep you motivated?
You remember that I work from home.
Do you?
Yeah.
I thought you worked for the Borg.
No. The Borg released me from Borg service. I am officially a full-time writer, editor,
nice.
And a stay-at-home mom.
All right, high five.
Sweet.
Woo!
Boom. Anyway.
That's awesome.
But enough about me.
Did you... So, I was going to say. So, yesterday I had a... So, we did a video that came out yesterday where we... I had my daughter, I told her, like, we're going to do a video about us going to Disneyland, because we're going to go to Disneyland, and so we want to do a video telling everybody.
Right.
And so then I told her that we're going to bring our family of five. We said, we're going to bring our family of five. And she's like, she starts laughing at me. She's like, Daddy, it's four. I'm like, no. And I counted them off. I was like, you, me, Gretchen,
Willow,
and the baby. And she's like, Willow is the baby. And I'm like, no, the other baby. And so that's how she figured out.
Oh, that was a surprise.
The baby. Yeah.
Aww.
Which is funny because I told her today, I'm like, well, I don't think you're going to trust me with a camera because every time I video us, They tell you we're having a baby.
She couldn't give that. Well, congratulations. Better.
All right.
I said, also, that's a nice spin on the usual Disneyland video where they film the kid being told they're going to Disneyland, you know, and it's right. Like, guess what, Johnny? We're going to the happiest place on earth. And the kid has a total meltdown.
Yeah.
Some of them look terrified.
I did that.
That was me.
I tried to do that. I haven't posted it because it wasn't as... I just got busy, but I did do surprised her at Disneyland. We were pulling up to it.
Yeah.
I videotaped it. And it was a cute reaction. Aww. But it wasn't like a melted down, because I think she started piecing it together as she's there like, wait, what? What?
Well, hold if you on. Start reading the street signs, it's pretty obvious.
Well, yeah, and she goes like, Daddy, I think we're going into Disney World. I'm like, no, we're not.
Disney World.
Which is true, yeah. I wasn't lying.
But no. The Disney World, yeah. It was, be specific.
Well, we were distracting her because we're like, I got to pull this off. I'm like, how much? Which is getting really hard the closer you get to it.
In it, like, blindfold. Okay, let's play a game. Because it starts... Daddy's going to tie this blindfold around your eyes.
The street signs start trauma. To say Disneyland.
Right,
yeah.
That's what I'm
like,
thinking.
Oh,
like, bus signs probably miles away.
Well, then we got dropped off at Disney, downtown Disney.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And I was like, this is... It's like my uncle forgot to mention that stuff that would come up. And he's like, I got a perfect place. It would be a great place to surprise her. I'm like, with it saying it everywhere?
Yeah.
It's coming a big sign. So it's going to Disneyland.
We're not Disneyland. No, we're not. We're Disneyland! She's like, yeah, no, Dad.
I can't surprise her now.
I've been here for, how old is she now?
10.
Oh, get over it. Your ability to surprise 14. And delight your daughter is going to rapidly be coming to a close. Soon she'll be a teenager and I'll be like, Dad.
That's why I got another one.
Another two now.
Yeah,
huh?
Two of them. I got to keep the surprises. What else am I going to do for the next 14, 15 years?
Don't cry.
Oh, yeah. It's great. This is the family show. We all got kids.
Yep.
Jenny, yours is 5?
7.
7.
He'll be 8 in November.
Time. Wow.
I know, right?
This fast.
Totally.
But you just got married like yesterday. I swear.
Well,
it was like 2 days ago.
As Nancy told a high school friend of hers that she just reconnected with like the last couple of days. She said, we did it the old fashioned way. We shacked up and then we had a kid and then we got married.
Wait, was it reversed? I don't remember that.
So, Nancy and I have been dating for 14 years.
Right.
As of next week.
Right.
And Gideon was born in 2009 and then we got married in 2013.
Wait, 2009?
Gideon was born in 2009, yeah.
Okay. Sarah was. No, she wasn't. It was 2007. That's right. I got divorced in 9. That's what I was like. It's different. It was a different birth.
See, I got divorced.
It was a different pain.
I got divorced the same year Nancy and I started dating, but I got divorced before we started dating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So did I. Ish.
Yeah. Well, although Nancy and I have known each other since... We figured out, I think, that we met Carolyn at your apartment right before you left for Europe.
Oh, so that would have been 99.
Yep.
Like that loft thing I had in the condo in Bellevue. Yeah.
Yep.
Wow. So, wait, 99?
Yeah. That's when we became friends.
Oh, okay. Because I was like, I met you all. I don't know why I met Carolyn, but I did meet... See, in 2001, I did that movie, Crimes of the Heart.
Right.
Close Bridges. That's when I got introduced to the collective of...
And I think I saw that show, but I didn't know anybody in it yet.
Was that 9/11? That was 9/11, right?
2000,
the year of 9/11?
2001, yeah. Yes.
2001.
Yeah.
You don't remember our nation's history?
What?
It's okay.
What? I had to ask. You mean when the good Lord put us all here last week?
So I know I asked you to come here and talk about Star Trek later on, but I want to find out like how you're, because you also you're two-thirds of Bodacious Ladyhood,
right?
Yeah. So I thought that was when did that form, like the day you met, you started singing to each other or?
No, first that we were in another group that was larger.
That's how we met. So Carolyn and I met was in another group that started in 1999.
So did you guys just decide that those guys were not singing cool enough songs and you wanted to branch out and do your own thing?
It was kind of the opposite.
Uh-oh.
So Loretta, the third, who is not here with us, she and another gal had started this group after doing a show called All Night Strut. And a lot of tight harmonies in that show. And they decided they wanted to form a group. And so Carolyn auditioned. You answered the audition ad, right? Mm-hmm. And they both knew me and said, we want you to audition for this. Sing your lowest stuff. And so then we sang together in a group of six people. And then kind of towards the end of the year, you left in August of that year to go to Europe. Mm-hmm. And then Loretta left the group in November. And then at the end of the year, I said, you know, I really want to go do other stuff too. Because it was hard to do other shows while we were involved in this group.
Yeah, this group kind of took a cart before the horse mentality and was like, sign all these papers and you're not allowed to do other shows. And it's like,
what?
Do we have any gigs?
You have to get approval to do other shows. Yeah.
Wow.
So, and we were all people from the musical theater, you know, community. So we're all people who like to do other things. So.
Right. I can't imagine. I mean, friends that I know that are actors if you're working professionally full time somewhere, but like, you know, if you're getting together and you're doing some gigs, like, how do you cut people off? Isn't that good publicity for other things that you might be doing if you...
Right, you network a little.
Anyway, but so...
Yeah, for various reasons, we decided to leave the group. And, well, you didn't decide, you...
Yeah, they sent me an email rejecting me.
Yeah.
That was nice.
But then, yeah.
So then what was the genesis of you all getting together? Do you just decide that, hey, we're gonna...
It was her coming back... back here from Europe for vacation. So she was in Europe working for a couple of years,
right? Yeah, 3 years.
She would come home for vacations and there'd be some sort of gathering and she'd say, somebody bring the book and a pitch pipe. And we would sing in people's living rooms. We would sing in Mexican restaurant parking lots, wherever we could. And so when she moved back to the U.S. for good, we were like, we should sing together.
Yeah.
So is there like one book of songs and everybody just knows these songs? Or you said the book. So is that
we had like the book of songs that we had sung in the other group.
Okay. So you.
With our group now, we have like 3 books.
Well.
Yeah.
If not 4.
And it's all a cappella, right? Or do you do...
It's almost all a cappella because there is one book of like piano songs because we used to do some cabarets.
Okay.
Where we would break it up with a little piano. Because if you only have 3 voices and you're going to do like a show that's almost 2 hours or whatever, or an hour and a half, you kind of need to switch it up.
Just to change it.
Yeah,
just
to change the sound a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah. And this, when we started doing cabarets, we really didn't have enough a cappella repertoire to fill a 2-hour show. So it was kind of a dual purpose. We would get somebody to come in and play piano for, you know, maybe a third of the songs so that we could fill out a full show.
Is that an expectation, though, 2 hours? Is that usually what a normal?
You do maybe an hour first act. You have a 15-minute intermission. You do a 45-minute second half.
Okay.
You know, that's 2 hours.
Man, I'm getting so inundated with comedy now that it's like, like 90 minutes. If it's any more, it sucks. Stop it. Don't do it. Or like an hour being like, oh, that's the greatest. Ugh, love an hour. An hour comedy show is the best thing.
Yeah, we can do like 3 hours at a wine walk. We have enough repertoire to just do that.
So what kinds of shows do you do? You do cabaret, you do like...
They were on Prairie Home Companion.
We were.
Yeah. That was
It's
our big claim to fame, yeah.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
It was some years back. It was in 2011.
Yeah. Yep.
And my God. I feel so, I got, no, that was yesterday when you had your child. I can't believe it. Everything's flying by so fast.
Yeah.
There it goes. Did you get the star treatment doing that? Did you guys get that when you were there? Or was
the Minnesota Nice treatment?
Everybody was so nice.
Yeah.
So was it in Bothell they recorded?
Woodinville. It was at Chateau Saint-Michel.
Oh, okay.
It was one of their traveling live shows.
Okay.
So, and yeah, they were super nice. They're used to this. Garrison would tend to sort of reach out to a local group and just bring them on, and it always just kind of worked out, and that's what happened just out of nowhere.
Yeah. We got an email on a Sunday. And I remember we were all three of us separately, we were texting back and forth going, are we being punked? What's going on? And so Loretta, who is kind of the business manager person, we all have roles other than the parts that we sing. And so Loretta, as the business manager, officially responded to the email. And we were like, okay, this might be real. And then when they got back to us with, and we're going to pay you, we were like, okay, seriously, we're being punked, right?
Right.
And then everybody was just so nice. The producer, the stage manager.
Yeah, the band, they wrote out a part because he wanted to put bass with us for a couple songs. So they just like wrote him a part really fast. They have like a printer going constantly because they're revising stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. The other musical guest was one of my idols, Sarah Jarosz, and she was nice.
Yes.
Oh, that's good.
It was so great.
I get scared about meeting people now, like when somebody like I really respect.
Oh, yeah.
In comedy, because sometimes they're not nice. And you're
feet
like,
of clay.
Damn it. Oh.
That's unfortunate. But I'm a writer, so we don't have, like, even our really, famous. Really nice people or our really, really famous people can't afford to not be super nice. No. Yeah.
They're not reclusive? And
well, no. Mysterious. I mean, I think maybe they probably still are, but these days you have to have a platform and they want you to, like, be out there.
So unless they're famous already.
Well, I met Daniel Jose Older last 2 weeks ago, who wrote Shadow Shapers, like, big YA, and he's got this, I mean, he's a New York Times bestseller. That's everybody's thing, right? And he's just the nicest guy and like really good at reading his own work. And it's always surprising to me when, you know, these people who you kind of hold up on a pedestal are just like really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, people don't have to be snobby just because they're up and up there.
Maybe it's just comedy, Silas.
Maybe, yeah, I know. No, that's
comedy,
what I was thinking.
Comedy is wretched.
Comedians are kind of
I mean,
messed
actors
up.
Though.
That's all
actors too. But I
well,
mean,
yeah.
But they have a lot of psychological issues going on of.
Usually.
Of yeah, I mean, one, if you're that famous, it's got to be destructive to your soul.
Well,
in some
yeah.
ways. And then, like, you don't want to nag them. And, you know, sometimes they are getting nagged because they want to just, like, oh, I just want to be left alone. Can't get any peace.
I'm just trying to think what job is most messed up. It's probably doctor. Seriously.
Doctor?
Because if you're a surgeon and you're saving people's lives every day, how do you deal with that? It's a huge, huge thing to deal with, and many people become very strange about it.
Yeah.
Plus, you're that person at the party that everybody's like, I got this thing on my arm. Could you take a look at this thing on my leg? You know, you're like, ooh, I'm just here having a cocktail. I'm
right.
not that
and they
kind
do
of doctor.
That. My mom is a doctor, yeah. And so she's not messed up. Her job, she thinks, is one of the best ones. She's a neurologist.
Okay. Oh, that's
and
cool.
And she always said that's a relatively good kind to be. But if you're like a cardiac surgeon, you're saving people's lives. Yeah. It's just kind of, there's something you have to go through to face it every day. Face the importance of what you're doing.
Right.
Although I did date a guy, his mom was a psychic. And that was weird because she said she couldn't. We're all in a really small town. And she was like, I just can't even go to the grocery store because people either want to talk to her or they don't want to like meet her eyes because they know their problem. You know, she knows their problems. Yeah. And she's afraid they're reading her or she's reading them. Yeah. So, I mean, that I think doctor and psychic.
What was the New Orleans Bayou? Like,
no,
people are all believing it.
I cannot tell. I don't want to. Okay. I don't want to give this away. No, town. Northern California, small Northern California town stuff. Yeah.
Do we talk about that?
Maybe. Probably. I don't know. Maybe. Yeah, when we were here, I was rambling.
So I was here from Chico.
I was so nervous. Now I'm Rose, hey.
Why are you more casual now?
Because I'm not in the hot seat. Like,
okay.
I'm sitting here talking to you and these two lovely ladies. They're on here. Go, tell us about this. But really, I want to know how you pick your songs. Does somebody bring a song to the group or do you go... Oh, you hear something on the radio or you do classics? Or?
We have a focus, which is comedy.
Okay.
So sometimes it's like, you know what? We really need another comedy song or, you know, you might sometimes need another ballad or something. Well, usually we have more than enough ballads at any given time. But you know, you kind of see a gap, especially Loretta. Loretta gives a lot of thought to song order and which songs can go into what show. She's very, very good at that.
Yeah, she's really good at putting together a show. But, you know, sometimes we see songs that we like. Sometimes friends suggest songs. Loretta's husband, Lee, has given us some of our most obscure and coolest songs. We do a song by a band called Spock's Beard.
Love it.
Yeah.
That's okay. Awesome.
He introduced us to a British vocalist named Maddie Pryor. And we do a couple of her songs. It's beautiful stuff.
Sometimes you hear things and you know the arrangement will work for you. You can get it by ear. I brought in a lot of stuff for us via the Chenille sisters because they sing it in three parts. That.
Do you do Freebird?
No.
No? Okay.
No Freebird.
What's the most unexpected song that you perform? Is there one that you start and people go, oh.
I think our signature tune, which is called Strip Polka.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's genuinely an Andrew Sisters song, but it's about a woman stripping to the polka.
Perfect for cabaret, I imagine.
Perfect for everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just clean enough.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a,
wow,
it's
racy.
It can be a family show, but.
How did the Andrew Sisters do that? Like, aren't they supposed to be wholesome?
They were less wholesome than you think.
Oh,
they weren't that wholesome.
Sometimes I think about that, like back, like we have this idea, oh, things are so bad now. And I was like, yeah, I think we just don't understand what they were talking about before.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They're a little subtle.
I don't know. And then you watch some things. I was watching, that's that Christmas movie, but with the sisters and the dancing act, and they go to Vermont.
White,
and
Christmas?
White Christmas?
White Christmas. Because in Holiday and they're not sisters.
Which is not totally bizarre that my family watches White Christmas every year. and they do that act with the sisters with the feathers, mm-hmm. and it's, you know,
true.
That's actually pretty suggestive. I mean, they're all clothed, but it's, you know.
Yeah, when I grew up, I oddly would watch Saturday afternoons because I didn't want to go outside because this is how I was. I would watch all these reruns because it was like on the one independent channel, because back then there was the network three and then some indie channel that played
odd
stuff.
What is it, PBS?
It was like whatever the Fox station, which played Married with Children at night. When Married with Children was the only show on the Fox network, they played other stuff just on syndication.
Yeah.
But I was in Northern California and Millis, Massachusetts. So and it was more in Millis that Saturday I would watch all of these Jerry Lewis and Dean Martin movies and all that whole little genre. And I remember my dad when I was young would get old stuff like Animal Crackers, whatever, like the different mm-hmm. Marx Brothers stuff to like watch old movies. And so, yeah, there was a lot of raciness, but they were just sure to cover everything. And
think about Marlena Dietrich. She mm-hmm. was really kind of pushed the boundaries of gender.
Yeah.
Back mm-hmm. in the 30s.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, woman way ahead of her time.
Yeah. We regressed a lot. Well, and then even like, okay, so we were, are you a Star Trek fan?
Yeah, but I mean, like, I'm a Deep Space Nine fan, which is a little bit different. Like, people think that's kind of the darkest and like least optimistic one of them.
Totally.
So
Absolutely.
You know, I'm not the traditional Star Trek fan.
But you've seen the original episodes.
Yes.
Like, the original, like, uh-huh. So they're doing this outdoor trek.
Mm-hmm.
It's the seventh year of it in a row, I believe.
It's
right?
The eighth year, the seventh eighth. Show. They skipped 1 year. So. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So it's an outdoor production of a Star Trek episode.
Okay.
They don't do traditional props.
Oh my God, it's so awesome.
They do like, there's like an Xbox controller, was the ship controller.
Yeah.
And Spock has a Viewmaster.
Yeah. And our phasers are, garden hose nozzles.
Nice. Is that what they were? Yeah, I was trying to figure that out.
It's great because then they're not precious. They can throw those on the ground and it's fine.
That, and they can't be mistaken for actual weapons, so we don't have to worry about the cops coming.
What's hilarious I actually thought that it was like, oh, those are funny, like laser guns.
Wait.
Where you would have found it, Archie.
Backing
McPhee's.
Up to
what?
The cops coming up to like the Star Trek production.
Well, I mean,
put those phasers down.
If you think about it, if you have something that looks like an actual gun, somebody could call the popo.
Even white people have that problem.
I was just going to say, I was like, wait a minute, it's a bunch of white people doing it.
No,
so
no,
you're fine.
No,
you can pretty much swing swords around and you're fine.
No, they
fine.
Do have black people in the show.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so.
Well, then for their own protection, please make sure that they don't look like they're holding a weapon.
Yeah.
For their own safety. Thanks.
So it was, so you guys do the script. Which is the episode? Which is the name
it's,
of the...
It's Day of the Dove.
Day of the Dove. Do you know what season?
It's one? It was a second season episode. I think it was episode 4 or 6 of season 2.
Okay.
Yeah.
And there was some content in it that I was... I was like, I mean, I don't think this is a spoiler for anyone. Like, you just watch the episode.
Yeah.
So, okay, so if you're worried about spoilers, skip the next 30 seconds.
But, like, Chekhov is, like, possessed or whatever. But then he's like, he almost threatens to rape this woman. Like, as possessed. But I was like, that was on TV? Like, what? Then? Yeah, I mean. The 50s? That's. But back then, yeah. They didn't think, oh, it's just, oh, no, he's talking about having sex with a woman. It's no big deal. Like, it was. Like, into the control. I was just like, what? Oh.
Well, first of all, it's never explicitly stated. He rips her bodice.
Mm-hmm. He says, but you are a woman. We all know.
Yeah, you're not human, but you're beautiful. Yeah.
But you're a woman.
Because he's hitting on a Klingon.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
And that's what's even weirder about it.
Yeah, but I think that kind of thing was still more permissible than, well, I mean, like, look, she wasn't. When the tables weren't turned on him, like,
but Star Trek is rough, you know. There's another geek fellow dad, I guess, mm-hmm. with me, Brandon Moore.
Oh yeah,
you know, who's also raising girls and a big geek, and he's been watching. Like, I've gone to his advice for watching, showing my daughter Star Trek episodes because mm-hmm. he's already going through them to see which ones to show her. And it's shocking which ones to go, like, yeah, I'm not going to.
Oh, I think there are tons of them I wouldn't show to my daughter. Yeah. Like, well,
the treatment of women in so many episodes is awful. So bad.
I mean, including that's like most TV before, I think, 1980. I probably wouldn't, even into that. Yeah. I mean, like, there's a lot. I won't even show her. I mean, Disney's fine, but I'm totally against most of the Disney movies until about Moana, where they get into something that's like not ending in. Having to end in a relationship. I mean, even Brave was great, but it all comes down to this, like.
Well, okay, we were just talking about the Disney thing with about how, like, mom's dead.
Yeah, that's mom's dead. What's up with Disney dad's killing dead. Off the mom?
And dad's,
man.
Either both of them go or the mom goes.
Definitely the
it's
mom.
It's not usually just the mom that's left.
Well, so it's usually, then it's always a female character with only a dad, and she's and her whole thing quest is finding her.
True love.
And it's just like, ooh, so basically you go from your father to some dude.
The newer ones are getting, 3 days, definitely getting better.
Almost me. Married an octopus dressed like a woman. Ursula.
Oops.
Anyway, well, I mean, Star Trek, sorry.
Well, I was going to say all those fairy tales come from days when marriage was a huge thing in your life. Like, it really was your...
Right, but Disney strips all the, like, the kind of brutal sort of... You know,
the early ones were pretty brutal, but yeah.
I mean, it just kind of like reduces them down. Yeah, it reduces them down to like, this is the only point. Like,
they all died, but let's sing. Let's sing.
And the sisters chopped off their toes and had their eyes pecked out by birds, but happily ever after for somebody.
Yeah. I mean, they do kind of have to, though. I went to Disneyland Tokyo this year. My brother took me, and my son. And they have a ride there, which is my brother's favorite ride, that is called The Voyage of Sinbad, or The Adventures of Sinbad, or something like that. And it's a ride that's been there since Tokyo Disneyland opened, and nobody liked it that much, because it was really dark and weird, because the story of Sinbad is like, oh, there's these people stealing rocks, eggs, and there's fighting, and then he gets attacked, and this, nobody liked it. So they were like, okay, we need to fix this. And they... Disneyfied it, and they brought in like Alan Menken to write a song for it, and now it is awesome. It is
ever.
Like the best ride. I loved it.
But speaking of like Voyage of Sinbad, so my dad raised us on like Ray Harryhausen movies. You remember him, mm-hmm. that guy who did all the stop action mm-hmm. stuff? So I remember watching all like the Sinbad where he's fighting the skeletons and we used to watch those super young, and like I don't know if my mom, I don't know what she thought, but my dad was like, no problem, let's plop the kids down in front of like Clash of the Titans and Voyage of Sinbad. Like it's claymation. It's almost like a cartoon.
I mean, it was so fake.
Yeah, but at the time, we didn't have CGI. Right. So, I mean, I remember that looked real, quote
Suspension
unquote.
Of disbelief was different.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's practically like a puppet show on a scrim, and you were like, wrapped.
Yeah.
Not like
I do
the
wonder,
Avengers.
Sometimes I wonder if I show my a 6-year-old that if they're still going to be scared of it, because, you know, I've been to Disneyland a lot because of living in California. And having family from there, you just go every once in a while. And going the last couple of times, I've been like, I can't believe I was ever scared of this. Why was I scared of this? And then seeing my daughter terrified of it. Like, I didn't realize how scary Snow White's scary adventure was. I know. It's in the title. That's what my daughter pointed out to me after the ride. But I was like, but it's just Snow White. It's not scary.
Your dad's the master of underestimating how terrified kids are going to be at stuff. I have to say, even now, my husband, I'm like, really? You didn't think that maybe? Well, don't tell her that.
But there's not a male authority figure in our house. There's my wife and I and our son, and we went to Disneyland a couple of years ago, and we were all so, buddy, what ride do you want to go on first? And he's like, Indiana Jones, Indiana Jones. I'm like, are you sure? He's like, yes, because he had played the Lego game. He was terrified. Have you ever been on? No.
You said you haven't been on it yet.
And okay. Nancy had, but it had been
so many years.
She went with Janet, her best friend, and it was when it was a brand new ride, I think, and so it was a long time ago, right? And so she didn't remember what it was like, really.
Yeah.
And so we went. That was the first ride we went on at Disneyland, and Gideon was terrified. No, he was 5 years old at the time.
It's real adrenaline pumping.
Oh my
ride.
God!
Well, and so we did that for the first time to Disneyland. We did Snow White's Scary Adventure, which she was terrified at the end of it, and she yelled at me and said, "It's a scary adventure." I'm like, okay, she's never been on rides before. I forgot. Okay, so we need to go. How about Star Tours? It's not really even a ride until and she loved that. She went nuts during that. She's like, "This is so much fun because it's just there in front of a big TV."
Yeah, that was super popular.
Yeah, and then she's like, "I want to do another." Okay, I forget if we did Pirates first or not. Mm-hmm. I think we might have just a little drop. That's fine. But then we went. She wanted to do Splash Mountain because that was. Her stepmom's, my wife's favorite ride. She knew that. And so we went. And we went up, or the things were just scary. Suddenly she's like, I want off. And I'm like, we can't get off. Because there was also no seatbelts in there. And she's like, I want off now. And I'm like, you can't. I'm so sorry. And she just started crying. And I'm having to hold her so she doesn't get down. And then we go down. And she was screaming and then we were done. She's soaking wet too. But we got around, she's scared. And then she started calming down. And then she did start laughing because we were kind of wet, but she was terrified. And I wouldn't buy the picture, but I did take a picture of the picture on the screen. And you could see her face just weeping, going down like that. And now for the next 2 years, everything was measured by,
Is it scarier or less scary than Splash Mountain?
And she held on. You took me on Splash Mountain. Mm-hmm. But it took us a little. We had to, after that was Winnie the Pooh, The Small World. We just calmed down.
Teacups.
Yes, we're just going real slow.
Go down to
we
Avenue
slow rolled that
or
day until the next day. We kind of get her on a couple ones that had. She's like, is there a drop? Does it drop? Daddy, does it drop? It was rough.
I don't know. I think though there's some things I think kids and it's going to sound terrible, but they kind of like the little bit of scare. Mm-hmm. There's that right amount of there's a book we have now that's kind of in the semi-rotation that it scares her. The next page scares her, but she still wants to read it every time. Mm-hmm. So I think that part of that is just the nature of kids. We all are look at us, everybody, look at how many horror movies are made and how many people go and sit and see Saw 25. And just to scare the bejesus out of themselves or gross themselves out or whatever.
My son's a pro at this because he's 11. He really likes video games. And like any kid that age, he loves YouTube and stuff. And there's all kinds of stuff out there. And there's jump scares and stuff.
Yeah.
And some stuff. And he'll just scream and laugh and be like, oh, it was just a jump scare, mom, or whatever. And I'm okay. I didn't know the technical
I can't even play video
learning.
Games. I can't. When you're in that first person thing and they're things zombies are coming at you, I'm screaming.
So now I got the VR system for the PlayStation.
Yeah.
And there's a couple games in there. First, the one night I played this, it's called the House of Blood or whatever. It's you're on a roller coaster. It's like a amusement park, but you're on this thing. And you're supposed to shoot all these little things. Mm-hmm. And then this scary clown starts coming out. And then, there's more than one. But it's crazy. Well, first off, so you have earplugs or earbuds to put in for it. And you know, you're immersed in a world. It looks like you are in this big distance thing. It's all, it doesn't look real. It still looks like it's a video game reality. But like, I was standing up when I started playing the game, and I'm on a roller coaster, and we went up and I fell forward.
Yeah, those videos of people wearing VR headsets falling over.
And I was like, what the hell is this? Totally natural, yeah. I still don't understand how that works. And then it started, like, the shooting started coming and it got really intense. I'm like, okay, I need to do something else. Like, I accidentally shut it off trying to shoot the clown. And then I'm like, well, you know, I wanted to try Resident Evil. I'm gonna try this game.
I know.
And I wanted to see what it was. And I was like,
I never sleep again.
Holy crap! Yeah, no. This was the scariest thing I'd ever done. And partly because I'm like, I know it's a horror game,
right?
And
so I keep waiting. It was almost scarier waiting, like, because you go up to each door and open it, and like, I don't know where it's gonna come from. It might come from behind me, you know, like whatever. And so that was intense. And then after I played, and I had to stop at this one point, and I'm like, okay, I need to watch TV. So like, I stayed up another hour to watch, you know, comedy just to try to get out of my head, because it really
palate cleanser.
And I'm like, I can't watch dreams about
comedians that are like zombie comedians.
I can't play this game at night.
Yeah.
But then I can't play it. My wife doesn't want to see it. Well, she's awake.
Yeah.
But no, I did discover after that I can actually play it without the screen on.
In front of me,
so I can turn the TV off and just play it, and I'll just look like a weirdo. She could be watching, actually.
She's probably got her own YouTube channel of you just like jerking around the living room, like, ah, yeah. She's like, crazy. Yep.
Monetizing that.
Exactly. Ads, please. I have 1,500,000 subscribers.
I did record my friend George playing the VR.
Oh,
I haven't shown it to him yet. He doesn't know yet, unless he's listening now. I did record him. It's pretty funny.
Heads up, George. You're going to find that video, man.
I won't put it on YouTube.
Grab the phone and smash it next time you see it. I'm just kidding.
I'll show my wife. She was like, that's awesome. Because you could hear him also like laughing at the things that were awesome. Playing the Star Wars levels, like the most awesome thing you can have. I talked about this last episode. I shouldn't do that again. I'm obsessed.
So what's your son playing now? Like, what's his jam?
There's a new game, and I actually haven't bought it for him, but there's a version on Roblox that he plays called Bendy and the Ink Machine, where it's all these black and white cartoons from like the 30s.
Yeah.
And it's supposedly like an old animation house and he's obsessed with animation. He draws animations and stuff. So this is right up his alley. And the idea is that they were trying so hard to compete with Mickey Mouse. They had this little sort of cute demon character named Bendy with his little pointy head. And, you know, he looks just like an old character from then. And because they had to produce so much, they created this ink machine that just pumps out ink so that they could draw, something like that. But then things fell apart and they left, but their creations came alive and are now kind of evil and angry.
Yeah.
And there's all this killing, which is horrible killing, but it's black and white stick figures. Animals.
Yeah. What was that one? Bunnies versus zombies. Like, that's the one I liked because it was like they're throwing toilet plungers at the zombies. It's like rabbits versus
rabbits. Rabbits. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it was on the Wii, I remember. Yeah. I don't know. Those games I like. Or like Big Little Planet. Was that? Little Big Planet. Sorry, I always say that wrong. But it's like a cooperative game and you can't move to the next part of the screen unless the other person's with you.
Oh, yeah.
So you kind of have to, like, team up and work together. Like, I like those games. Those games make me happy. It's a scary, like, first-person zombies are coming or I have to shoot things.
There are all kinds of video games. I mean, there's a video game where you're a breeze and you're, like, blowing daisies around and stuff. It's very relaxing. And there's just a game for everybody.
Yeah.
People don't realize that. I've always liked games with weird controllers, like I like Dance Dance Revolution.
Oh, yeah,
like that,
that's
fun.
Yeah. Plus you feel like you're actually, like, doing something, you know?
It's a good aerobic workout in the dead of winter or something. Just get out the old dance pads and
the future will be us in little that was a Black Mirror did you see that episode of Black Mirror? The one where they were
that one.
Oh, okay, that's a good one. Where basically everybody lives their life in a little cube, you know? And
generating electricity, basically.
Yeah. Season 2.
Oh, that one.
Yeah.
Oh, that I have seen that one.
Yeah, it was an early one because I know I haven't seen.
Oh wait, is that everybody that does that? I thought it was just their job.
That's
like
all you do.
Oh,
yeah.
And is that the one where they can compete to get out of there?
Yeah, to get onto that show.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, yep. That was super creepy.
I love that show. It creeps me out.
Charlie Brooker is a genius.
Yeah. Ooh, I haven't started watching season 3 yet. Who's anybody?
No,
seen
I'm behind.
Them? Okay.
No,
I haven't seen all of it yet.
I haven't even seen all of season 2. Okay. So
wait, so you haven't seen the social media one?
Wait, not yeah, the I've one with Bryce Dallas Howard. Yes. Bryce Howard Dallas.
Oh, Bryce Dallas Howard.
Thank you.
I
think their names. I'm terrible.
That's the beginning of season 2, I think. Okay. Or is that the beginning of season 3?
I thought it was 3. Did 3 just come out?
It's been out a while.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe that's the
first. I think that's the beginning of season 2.
My husband's trying not to
spoil. I have seen that one, but I.
Anyone who's into social media has got to go.
Yeah, it's frightening.
That show's just great, though. It keeps like ratcheting it back up into crazy and like too close to reality.
Mm-hmm.
It's the first thing since I really liked the, I don't know. You know, I liked The Outer Limits when that was playing, but like, I hated the guy's voice that started it. So I would like hate the episode like for the first 10 minutes until it got rid of, and then he keeps coming on. And you never know. I'm like, oh,
shut
you.
Up.
I hate it. I hated it.
I need to see this now. Yeah, now I know.
Are you talking about the reboot of Outer Limits or the original one?
The reboot. Oh, I don't know if the original one. Yeah, season 3 is the one I'm talking about.
Oh, okay.
About. Episode 1.
Yeah,
I cheated.
Social media one.
Isn't it called San?
San Junipero.
Wasn't
that the one with the two?
I haven't seen that one yet.
That's
season. Apparently, that's like
that's
this unbelievable
episode. 4,
episode.
Yeah.
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 That everybody talks about.
Actually, that one was a really good one.
So you've seen it?
Wait a minute. I have seen that
that's
one.
Season 3. Oh,
yeah. Okay. Never mind. I'm
caught up. You're caught up.
I'm for once. Usually I'm a season behind everybody, and then I binge to keep up.
Well, there's only 6 episodes in there.
I know, but you know,
it's British, so
you gotta like watch it slow. Like that one's one you can't watch 6 episodes in a row. You gotta like slow them down.
Yeah, I couldn't just because it's so creepy.
Yeah, scare the bejesus out of you. Yeah, which is my like bar for everything that I can only watch a few at a time.
How many bejesuses
bejesus.
Does it scare out of you?
I scared all the bejesuses out of
bejesus
me.
Bejesus index.
See,
one bejesus.
I'm like
1.5 bejesuses scared out of me.
If there's a night that I'm not tired and the baby's sleeping and I can squeeze in, I'm like, I will. Now that's what makes me binge. It's like, can I get 2 in? Can I get 2 episodes in? Or like, if I'm not in the middle of, now I'm in the middle of some video game that I'm obsessed with, but. Normal, but otherwise, I'm like trying to get episodes in.
Yeah,
especially the and scary thing. My wife's such a wimp; she won't watch anything that, like, she doesn't want to see it. Like, she'll get freaked out, especially zombie shows.
Oh, I don't like zombie shows.
Right?
Well, give me all the vampires and werewolves and
what is it about
slashers?
Zombies? What is it
I
about
don't
zombies
know. I haven't figured that out. I don't know.
Like, is cannibalism like a big? Turn off. I don't know. Like,
it's probably the creepy wet fleshiness
and
the brains
stuff. I really don't know.
The zombie thing is useful though when your kid wants you to chase them again for like the third hour that day, and it's like, I'm a zombie, so I'm really slow.
Yeah. That is handy
because the kid will find that hilarious, but then you're like, yeah, I'm strolling now.
Exactly. What is this? It's not a Danny Boyle movie. I'm a slow zombie.
Yeah, the only zombies that don't bother me are the Minecraft zombies. I don't mind those.
That's so funny. I guess it's interesting. Like, you both have boys, and I've got the girl. And so,
girls.
You got a girl?
I have a girl. Yep.
Like, I was like, she never wants me to do zombie. Like, she'd be scared. She'd like.
Hendrick loves zombies.
I've had to.
And he draws really, like, his animations are often, like, viscera and guts everywhere, but they're little stick figures. So I'm like, you know, it's probably good he's having this phase when he's like 10, 11, because it's cute.
If
he was drawing this when he's 17, I might feel differently.
I did not appreciate playing Barbies with my daughter as much as I should have. And now that she doesn't, I'm like, man, I should have played more. I should have tried to get her to do other things. Like, you know, because it was like, oh, it is pretty sweet.
And that time is so short.
It.
Like, whatever they're into, you kind of want to just get into it. You got to just, like, jump right into it, because then it's over, and then they'll never want to touch it again. Like, well, maybe.
That's really
their thing.
I mean, I would do it and be playing there with her, but, and I don't know, sometimes I feel like, I'm like, man, we've been playing a long time. Oh. We gotta go do something. Gotta do something else. I gotta get you outdoors, or... I'm always like, I gotta go get her. I gotta do something with her.
Yeah. Oh, man. We've just been playing with those IKEA play mats. She's just been building houses and stuff.
Oh,
and all she wants to do is, like, build a house and sit in it and have you, like knock on the door or knock on the roof or walk around it so she can kind of see you. And that is the game. That is it. I listen to a lot of podcasts because otherwise I feel like I have done nothing all day. Yeah. But sometimes it's just like an hour of walking around. Clop, 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 clop. Hello, is anybody there?
The 19-year-old just wants, the 19-month-old, she just wants to get in a chair. That's her game now. She's like, gets up in the chair.
I'm in the chair.
And then gets down to the chair. And then wants up again.
It's the little, the simple pleasures in life. Absolutely. We should all appreciate the little things. Yeah.
So, okay. But now the Star Trek. I should get back to.
How do you guys pick episodes? Like, how do you decide which episode that you're going to do?
So, the gals that started the company, Joy and Pepper, they just, I'm not sure how they choose other than trying to do kind of the first few. They were doing like the most famous ones. They've done Amok Time and Mirror Mirror, and last year they did Space Seed, and that was the first episode that I was in, and that's the Khan episode, right? But this year, Day of the Dove is very, the theme is very relevant to our current political climate. And so even though it's not one of the, I wouldn't say that it was one of the better written scripts, it's very topical, and we have just a ton of fun doing it. Mm-hmm. And they really try to be true to the Roddenberry vision of diversity and inclusion. And that sounds really like a corporate platform, but it's not.
That's how the Federation's supposed to be.
That's true. And they cross gender cast. They cast gender blind. They cast ethnicity blind. They're pretty much, if they think you can do the part, they'll cast you. Last year, Khan was played by an African American woman. This year, that same woman is playing Dr. McCoy. The Asian man that played Dr. McCoy last year is playing the Klingon Commander Kang. I'm playing Ensign Chekov. The Spock and Kirk every year are the same women. So they've done seven episodes playing Kirk and Spock.
Are one of them the founders?
The gal that plays Kirk.
Okay, but the Spock is just...
They randomly met in the library.
She's so good that at the Spock that they just like, good, yeah, you're Spock.
I really like her Spock.
Yeah, yeah. She's down with it. Spock. Perfect, yeah, she's fantastic. And then there's a live band for the theme music, and that's where Carolyn comes in. She's part of the band this year. So there's a live band that provides like the incidental music and the theme music and sound effects and sometimes little bit parts, like Carolyn is an orderly.
Yeah, I ended up coming on stage for a couple of things.
Yeah.
But yeah, and I want to say that their inclusivity is one of the things I love about them, because I saw the show last year and I thought, oh, it's so refreshing the way they cast and the way there's just all kinds of people on the stage. And so when I got the email saying, you know, we need another soprano because ours can't do all the shows, etc. And I was like, they don't care how old I am, what my dress size is, whether I look like Uhura or something. Mm-hmm. They just want to know if I can do what they need done.
Right.
And I really like that. Because there's a lot of theater that's very looksy and you know, narrow in what they want. Well, and I think kind of the wave of the future is that it should be more inclusive. It really should be for everybody.
One of the amazing things to me was, so last year when we did Space Seed, there were only two people in the entire cast that were the original gender and race of the actual series people. And that was me, who played Lieutenant MacGyver's, Khan's girlfriend, and the guy who played Mr. Scott. And I am certainly not the body type that would have been cast as a romantic lead in a series. Since this is a podcast, I'll describe myself. I'm 40. Well, at the time I was 49 and about 180 pounds. So I was not your classic leading lady look. Mm-hmm. So, and the guy that played Mr. Scott, he is in a wheelchair most of the time. He can walk and he is mobile and everything, and he has the most amazing voice.
I know, but he's next to me singing the big song.
Oh my gosh,
he sounds really good.
Yeah, he has an amazing voice. So it's just phenomenal to be in a creative space like that and know that you're being hired for your ability.
So that's really interesting because, you know, in a way, this show is supposed to be about this projecting this diverse and interesting future. Mm-hmm. But, you know, let's be honest. I mean, for the time that it was filmed, it was. You had Uhura on the bridge, and that was remarkable and Chekhov. But, you know, it wasn't very much different than television. And it certainly, even compared to today, is, you know, still very pretty standard versus all the physical characteristics. Right. So you guys have taken that to then the next level. And how do you feel like what you're doing and how does that change or add to kind of the source material? Because in some ways I feel like what you're doing is even more the Federation than what they were doing back when the original show was out. So do you feel like that changes the text or the subtext of the episodes?
Sometimes maybe, but not. We really don't think a whole lot about that. Mm-hmm. I don't really, which is maybe kind of a letdown. What I think is really cool is that even though, for example, I'm playing a man's part and I'm a woman, they don't make the character a woman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'm playing a man, and just the same with Khan last year. But we really didn't address it, like they didn't address it to the audience or anything, but within the cast, it was a very exciting thing, for example, with Joy and Pepper, that Space Seed was going to have their first girl-girl kiss on stage for, you know, even though Captain Kirk, who picks up a woman on every planet, right? They had always cast Kirk's girlfriends with male actors. Mm-hmm. And so they were very excited, even though they didn't make a big deal about it, like in marketing the show or anything like that. Internally, they were very excited about the fact that there was a girl-girl kiss in that.
And this year's the girl-girl bodice rip because of the...
That's right.
Because she's Chekhov and she's the one...
Yeah, I have to assault a Klingon woman.
Yeah, I don't know. Those Klingon chicks are tough, man.
They are. Yeah. She gets me back later.
Yeah,
yeah. But
Klingons are so dumb, though. No, because they're like, no, it's evil. No, you're lying. They never believe the Federation.
One of them has that great line, 4,000 throats can be cut in one night by a running man. And I was like, that needs to be like a Klingon inspirational poster.
I want that on the back of my car.
Yeah, right?
Like, don't mess with me.
Yeah. I was like, that's a Klingon proverb, sounds like, you know?
Totally. Yeah.
But even in Next Generation, none of the episodes do they have, like, the Klingons where there's a rational Klingon that goes, wait, guys, hold on.
Maybe
we shouldn't overthink our anger here.
Yeah, but they're Klingons, man. Right. That would be like a Romulan being like, or a Ferengi being like, you guys, let's do something for the good of all people. That just wouldn't fly.
We be three-dimensional Klingons? Come on.
So I'm curious about the feedback that you have. You got, or do you have any access to, like, what are people saying? Because it's just such an interesting idea and such a great concept.
It was full when I went there.
Like, do people come up to you after and they're like, oh, it's so cool to see, like, even just so many more women in a cast compared to like an original Star Trek episode, I think is
we get some of that. We get a lot of my brain just went blank. We get a lot of people just coming and saying, God, that was the most fun I've had at a show in so long, and Look at all the badass girls fighting each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's that representation kind of thing of just being able to see yourself in different.
And it's funny. So Kirk and Spock, they're both pretty petite women, right? And the episodes that they've chosen, a lot of times they end up fighting each other, like in a muck time, you know, they fight each other. Pepper, who plays Kirk, she has said, for a while they subtitled Outdoor Trek short women fighting. Because a lot of times it's a lot of short women fighting.
Mm-hmm. Well, I will say too, there's other aspects to how they like to do things there. I mean, like they see the original script as being sort of like Shakespeare. Like they're taking a TV show and making it into a play. So there's a little bit of sort of working it into how they're going to do it live and stuff. Mm-hmm. And their props are very simple, like we were saying. So there's a sort of a simplistic aesthetic to the props. And the band is small and doing a lot with a little. It's like a drum, a guitar, a flugelhorn, and then a soprano. And we're all throwing in like kazoos, and I have a glockenspiel and a noisemaker and some stuff like that. And so it's very, because it's outdoors and it's free. Mm-hmm. So there's that kind of aesthetic. So the comments I get are usually that kind of thing. I haven't had people discuss the casting with me, but also I'm in the band, so people say, oh, it sounded really good or whatever, you know, so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, really, most of the comments that I've heard and that I've gotten are, wow, you do so much with so little. And how inventive it is. The transporters are hula hoops with ribbon on them.
Okay.
And they're so awesome.
My favorite thing in it was the sliding doors.
Oh, yeah.
How when they walk through and they go, psht.
No. It's FSH.
It was hilarious. But here's the thing, I watch it, and there was one time that nobody shut the door, and I was so like, the door is open. The door is open. The door is open. I did not hear. Oh my gosh. Oh, can I send a note? I just need to know. Someone needs to shut that
show
door.
Show notes at the end. You get a laundry list of things from Silas. Next time in the third act, you're going
to No, I was just. It was just more the door is ajar. I need someone to go and shut that door right now.
I know during some of the run-throughs, Joy was counting door openings and closings, but yeah, it's hard to get it.
Well, I think the way they went through, like, so fast. I was right next to the doors where I sat, so I was really enjoying it, and then I was like,
door didn't close.
Is someone else going to come through?
Were you by the turbo lift?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It was great. Oh, it was great, though. I was just loving it. I was like, so today, actually, I was teaching today at doing a Star Wars camp for kids, and we have a rule that you can't do. I discovered a rule. They're doing one called Star Wars Rebel Alliance, and you're gonna do Star Wars stories and original stories and characters. And then they're watching something, and they're like, "Oh yeah, you can't." So we have a no like gun rule. Mm-hmm. So you can't do. And I'm like,
you know, it's Star Wars, right?
Yeah, they have a no violence thing. So I'm like, but. It's called
lightsabers around.
Like it's called wars. They said lightsabers were fine. I guess it was guns in particular. And I'm like, okay, well we can just do like, oh they'll hold the blast. Like can we do hold the blaster? Yeah. And I got permission to say they can say thermal detonator.
Oh okay.
Like, that sounded better than like bomb.
Well, you know? And that's what it is. And it's a thermal detonator.
Yeah. And I was explaining to kids, and one of the, I have to have
precision is everything.
The one girl won't. Well, she doesn't want to do it. Say the line because she can't say it. You can't say detonators. Too many words. Too many syllables. So I'm like, you just need to switch characters. Who says them? They're like, oh. Like I was brilliant for coming up with that. So what I was telling them was like, well, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to be like, go to war in this part of it. And I'm like, well, just, you know, have a couple lines that say like that. Or go, just start looking at each other and go, pew, 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 pew. Like, that'll count. We'll get it. As long as you don't point. Just go pew pew.
Somebody fall over.
And I was then I told them about what you guys were doing in Star Trek. And it was great. By the way, I may have got some kids who want to come see it because
that's
I was talking
awesome.
About like it's Star Trek outdoors and I want you. They're like, what? Can we go? What?
I'm Hendrik like, well, loves it. He's 11, so he was all about it.
Oh yeah, it's a fun.
This is
concept.
I can't imagine this would not be an awesome all ages show, right?
Yeah. Are you kind of. The subject matter is a little disturbing. So there's an alien entity that is controlling the minds of the Federation crew and the Klingon crew and forcing them to fight each other. And so there's a lot of not that they don't already, but it's like this engineered skirmish that is going to go on forever if they don't figure out how to make it end. And so there's a lot of talk about death and torture and
bad.
All that kind of stuff. And so it disturbed my 7-year-old.
Okay.
Now, he said that's what disturbed him. I'd prepared him for mm-hmm. the fact that I was going to get tortured and hurt on stage. But I warned him that I was going to be fine and all of that. And then when he came to the preview, he made it into the second scene, and my wife had to take him home mm-hmm. because it was too much for him. Yeah. But we're still not sure if it was watching me get hurt or if it was all of the talk. I mean, it's not a horrible thing if he was disturbed
either one of those things
stuff about
is
death,
like,
right?
Yeah,
because
yeah,
Kang is.
But you kind of like, for your acting's sake, you're like, I hope it was me. Like, I was so good that he's like, that can't be fake. That couldn't be fake. It was too real.
Well, I freaked out some of my castmates during that scene once during rehearsal because I apparently was just too convincing,
awesome.
And they were like, "Are you okay? Are you okay?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm acting, for God's sake."
Best compliment I ever got was when my roommate in college that he didn't come in the kitchen for a long time because he thought I was like having a serious conversation with somebody. But I was just going over my lines for something, and I was in the kitchen like reading it. Like, you could only hear one side of it, but he thought it was like, "Oh, gee." And then finally, he was like, "I don't. He already said that." And then like peeked around. He's like, "Oh, I thought you were talking to somebody." I was like, "Oh, that's awesome.
Thank you.
Wow. It sounds like I'm really talking to somebody." And he was uncomfortable. That's awesome.
So you've got your midway through your run for the summer. You've got shows through middle of August, 13th?
Middle of August. So we've got one weekend down.
1 weekend left.
Yeah. Okay. So Carolyn, tell them what the name of the band is.
Yeah.
Well, we're the Red Shirts.
Of course you are. Of course you are. That could be no other name. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So that's like staring death in the face, though, right? You know, like.
But they come back every week.
That's brave and bold.
Brave and bold.
Bold.
are the people, because there's some people, they have red shirts, but there's some people in the show, the shirts are reddish.
So
like burgundy.
Yeah, the colors of the Federation uniforms are kind of an approximation of they're like the best that they could find.
But they had red shirts.
Well, but they're different.
Okay.
They're the band, man.
They wanted all of the same shirt. So the red shirts and the burgundy shirts and the blue shirts and the gold shirts are all the same shirt.
Okay.
They're the same style shirt.
Okay.
And so when they went to look for the shirts, they wanted to be able to get those three colors in the same shirt so that then they could sew on the insignias.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so that was the closest that they could get.
Right.
And so, and then, but sense. I think it's good then that the band
I'm
is a different
nerd
color.
Nitpicking the
I know,
shade
right?
of the
like
color.
Actually,
that's not.
If
well,
you want to get really nitpicky, the original gold uniforms were not gold. The command
it's
uniforms,
true.
they were kind of an olive green, but because of the fabric, the way the fabric photographed, it looked gold on screen.
It would change in scenes because I'd be like, I don't know if new ones now that they're high def, they're like you can see the like flaws of their shadings because I'm like that's a weird color.
Nothing looks good in high
and
def.
So next gen with the advent of next gen really made it gold, and the dark red, and then the kind of funky powdery blue.
Now because I remember laughing at a time when one of the red shirts came out and said something, and I feel like everybody laughed because we were all like, he's dead. Like, he's going to die. But then he didn't get killed, and I was like, oh. I was actually like, oh, I thought he was going
to
die.
I wanted to see somebody die.
I thought it was going to be the funny because he's a red shirt. The red shirt.
We like Johnson.
I went to an arena.
We're sad that
his name was Johnson.
We're sad that he's not in any other episodes. He's only in that one episode, and he has a name. And he's a cool dude, but
Ensign Johnson. But he doesn't die. That's one.
No,
right?
I know. Mm-mm. Well, he
because he comes back.
Yeah,
he gets stabbed.
Spoilers.
Right?
Yeah.
Stabbed, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what you gonna do? Star Trek.
Somebody's yeah, gotta live. True.
I have at least a 24-hour rule.
For
no
nine?
Spoilers.
Oh, for no but, spoilers.
So,
oh.
So we're up. We're past 24 years.
Yeah,
so
look,
okay.
I mean, I think yeah, you got to like have an expiration date on spoilers. Like, look, I mean, if you haven't seen it now, it's nobody's fault. But
what is the rule? Do you have, what would you say?
I give things like 2 or 3 weeks, especially like movies that have come out now, because it's really hard to avoid spoilers. Like, I feel like even things that, and maybe it's my mommy brain, but also somebody can totally spoil something for me, and I won't remember by the time I get to go see it. So,
oh, that's so lucky.
Yeah, I'm just
sometimes
like,
I don't want to see trailers because I'm like, I don't like, yeah. I want to be surprised, yeah. But I do forget a lot, and then I'm like, oh, yeah.
Oh, but when that scene happens, you're like, yeah, I remember that.
I do. There's been a couple movies that I was like, that one thing hasn't happened yet. Where's that one thing?
Yeah, so what happens when they, I mean, this is totally way off topic, but like when you see a trailer and there are scenes in the trailer that don't wind up in the movie
because they cut them, they didn't know that it was going to get started.
Yeah, but it's such a like,
or the editor didn't care. Oh, apparently, like Jurassic Park World, they said we need a scene for the trailer where he says let's go, and right, and they're like, well, yeah, but there's no scene in the movie where we can do that. They're like, just film it for the trailer.
Yeah,
and so they filmed a scene for the trailer. They knew they weren't going to use because it didn't fit for the story. I'm like, you sons of bitches.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like that's like
what about you guys? What do you think? What do you think is the, what's the spoiler time? Like, do you hold off?
The worst show for spoilers is RuPaul's Drag Race, because people will be instantly all over social media with whatever happened. And it's so, even just being on the West Coast is kind of bad.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, right. Yeah.
I just have to stay off of Instagram and Reddit and several other sites and just not even look. Because someone will be, oh, my God, can you believe it? You know, and that Valentina did that. And I'm just, oh, come on.
Oh, the first year of Survivor, like, first year, or was like year two, when Yahoo didn't think about the fact that West Coast people weren't going to see it. And I went to Yahoo's page and it just said who the winner was. I'm like, what the, seriously? No, I was just going to my email.
But reality TV has totally changed the way we do spoiler stuff, mm-hmm. because so much of it is.
I watch Survivor still, and I'm actually somewhat. I don't encourage anyone to watch it because I don't want them talking about it. So I'm actually glad nobody I know talks about it, because I'm like, good, you're not gonna ruin it, because I get behind like a week waiting for my daughter to come back.
Yeah, like I watch The Voice, but I typically don't watch it the night of the episode, because it's on late, and I'm a mom and I have to get up early to go to work, and so I'll watch it the next day on Hulu. And so I have to, like, when the finale comes around, I have to stay off Twitter, because I follow half the coaches on Twitter, and I'm like, I want to watch it. I want to be surprised.
Okay, Twitter, if you're listening, because Twitter is the big one where the spoilers happen, right? Like, there should be a way to mute certain things.
There is some teenager came up with it.
Yeah, but like, you can say, I don't want to know who the Bachelorette picked, and then so that anything that says Rachel Lindsay or whatever one of those dudes she's banging now, and then like, and they just executes out of your timeline.
Well, then there's more and more sites trying to do push notifications now, so you have to just tell your Google to shut up, your Twitter, your Instagram.
Everybody wants to notify you. I'm like, how do I?
CNN ruined something for me one night. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Why is this an alert? You didn't tell me war had started, but you're telling me this, that so-and-so and Survivor? Right. You assholes.
I constantly got spoiled for the Great British Bake Off.
Yeah, that one's rough too. Yeah.
What?
Well, who
posts about that?
A couple of my Twitter buddies from Britain.
Like, that's the weirdest. Casey Undercover was totally spoiled for me then.
What's hilarious is that, I mean, so I'm watching my Twitter feed and they're tweeting about the Great British Bake Off, and I'm at work at lunch or something, right? And then now 2 years later, I'm finally seeing the episodes. So it's like, I want to go back on my Twitter feed and go,
hey, remember that thing?
Who are they rooting for? But yeah.
I have had some random shows that I didn't think anyone was watching. Someone started posting them. I came across it. I'm like, oh, no. What? I thought I was the only one. What's going on?
What's fun is it's really easy for me to avoid Game of Thrones spoilers because I don't watch it.
Don't be one of those people bragging about not
watching. I don't have HBO.
Yeah, but that's one of those shows that I pretty much just read the recaps of, because I'm like, I don't really need that. Yeah. Just tell me what happened so I can be at least on Twitter when it's going. I can kind of,
I gotta say, I've either groomed my Facebook, like I've filtered enough people out or whatever that I have relatively been getting no spoilers for like some big movie or shows recently. Like last year, I was pretty proud of all my friends with Game of Thrones because they were not, nobody was talking about it. I was like, this is great. This is what I want to see. No conversation. We'll talk about, let's talk about at the end of the season. We can go back and start talking about everything.
Okay, so are there any spoilers that you, or shows or books that you look for the spoiler, you read the synopsis first before you look at it?
What?
I have been known to skip to the end of a book because I just can't stand the suspense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But my biggest shame is that I spoiled the sixth Harry Potter book for my wife.
Oh.
Because something just fell out of my mouth when we were talking about a friend of ours.
Oh,
wow.
And it,
and the fact that then, she stayed
and
then
she was like, right, I haven't read it yet.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so then that's a good question. Are book spoilers different than television movie spoilers? Because books are like,
it takes you longer to get there, right?
You know, books, like everybody almost might be watching the show at the same time, so we're all tweeting Game of Thrones, but nobody, you know.
Yeah.
I think I would have been a lot madder about book six spoiler than a Game of Thrones spoiler. Like, because the payoff's quicker. Oh,
yeah.
No, I think I would. It's too much investment.
She was so pissed.
Yeah. I mean, I would be a book spoiler that would be a lot harder for me to deal with than a TV spoiler.
Gretchen got that kind of spoiled because she wasn't having time to read, and all her family was reading it, and she'd suddenly hear like a book being thrown against the wall, or like this where, and then they would all like not talk, and but then something happened where it kind of got spoiled for her that she was like, oh, but she's also someone who she'll. I go to start a movie, and I look over, and she's reading it. She's reading the Wikipedia so she knows what happens because she doesn't want to, because it's too tense for her. So she needs to know what's going to happen. And I used to yell, I'm like, don't do that. Like, I want to enjoy this with you. But I realize she doesn't enjoy it if she doesn't know what's happening.
Yeah.
She's too tense.
Some things can make me tense like that. But also there's some kinds of comedies that are just too toe curling. Like, they're setting up some big embarrassment or something, and I'm just like, I'm just not enjoying this.
I actually had a hard time with Bridesmaids because, like, so much of her, that humor is set up to, like, just, like, she just looks so bad at so many places, and she just keeps going at the point where you're like, please stop digging the hole. You're hurting yourself and everybody watching you. And I did, like, I almost wanted to hit the, like, forward. Let me just skip this part. Mm-hmm. That actually made me just as tense as, like, watching a horror movie, I think, was that scene where she's giving the toast and you just want her to stop talking.
Oh, yeah.
Just please stop talking. Yeah. Man. I don't know. I'm sensitive. I'm sensitive.
I keep meeting more and more people that comedy. Are saying that. And I'm like, I really love watching the pain.
No, I don't know.
At all.
Shine
it's the comedy
brighter.
In me. Yeah. It's the comedy in me. You know, we roast and pick apart people. And it's like, I think it's hilarious. All right, so we're about out of time, but this is going up next weekend. So then you'll have 2 weeks.
Yeah, we have three weekends. So
this is airing.
Oh, okay.
When this is airing, you'll have two weekends left.
Okay,
Carolyn, you'll be back.
Yeah, I'm alternating with another soprano, so I'm back on the August 5th and 6th weekend, which is also when the guy who wrote the Klingon language is the opening show. The pre-show at 6 p.m.
Yeah, the guy who wrote the Klingon language.
Dude.
Yeah. Show up early.
That's like the nerdiest weekend. That's
totally. He also invented Vulcan, by the way.
Oh, sweet.
Really?
Yeah.
Man.
He's a linguist.
Wow.
I just think that's incredible. I was explaining to the students, actually, though, that how they actually take somebody and create a language for when they use them in a movie.
Yeah.
Someone does that.
And it sounds like it sounds like, oh, a linguist is going to talk at me for 45 minutes. No, this guy is really fun. He's so enjoyable to listen to. He's a really nice guy. So, so we got 2 weekends left. Dr. Blanche Leviso Park in South Seattle. It's 22nd and Yesler. And
it's a tiny park. You wouldn't know it's there.
It's true.
Unless you go there. You will not know this park exists.
Google it. Google it. Google map it. Get yourself there.
A little bit of trivia. Hello Earth Productions, the company that puts on Outdoor Trek, actually literally put Dr. Blanche Leviso Park on the map. in Google Maps. Yeah. It wasn't on Google. And they said people can't find us, and they called Google, and Google added it to the map.
Updated their map. Sweet. Yeah, good job, you guys. Good job. Hello, Earth.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on. Really appreciate you, both Carolyn, Jenny. And of course, Jasmine. Yeah.
Thanks for guest hosting. Asking all my questions.
I had to come in.
Put up with all my craziness.
Hopefully you'll come again after I'm done dieting, so I can
rosé all day with the rest of us.
Join in the plastic cups.
This is classy. Stay classy, Seattle. Yeah.
All right. Black and a half.
And a half.
No, I say black and a half. I say black and a half, and you say black and a half.
Oh. Do it again.
Black and a half?
Black and a half.
Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by to receive our transmission.
Prosper and prosper.